Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. I'm your host and founder of Brave Parenting, Kelly Newcomb. Well, thank you everyone for joining me today. I am thrilled you are here. Today, I want to unpack the biblical reasons why children should not engage with AI technology in general, but specifically AI conversational chatbots. Now, this topic has burdened my heart really over the past 2 years. I actually started my master's thesis on this topic, but I knew I could not accomplish in 8 weeks what I thought was really going to take a while for God to reveal through His Word. So I just prayed and researched and thought deeply about AI and how it will form children who grow up using its applications. If you've been listening to the podcast or following the website, you know that I've spent a lot of time researching Replica and Character AI, which are two platforms that market themselves as companions for lonely individuals. I've also read lots of books and blog posts and articles, manifestos, you name it, about AI and its potential to be the greatest benefit to mankind, or obviously the greatest existential threat. I've studied all the different worldviews of transhumanism, transutopianism, and techno-optimism. So I really became convinced that this was such a thing to talk about that was so detrimental for children when I began researching the elementary learning apps and how they used AI in order to teach children. And then, of course, our topic today, we're going to be talking about AngelQ and how they believe that AI was the answer to the harms on the internet. And I realized that this isn't just devastating for children, it's detrimental to their faith. And the reason for that is because, broadly speaking, these programs and apps and toys and devices aim to replace God. Now, that's what I'm going to be unpacking on today's show, both with evidence from the apps and products themselves, as well as from Scripture. Now, we believe that Scripture is authoritative and sufficient. Now, it doesn't speak specifically about AI, but it gives us enough information about what it means to be a human image bearer of God, living in God's creation in this time and space. So therefore, we can apply that knowledge to investigate whether or not AI is altering the core purposes of childhood. Now, we need to do some groundwork first by talking about worldview. So worldview is, of course, the lens by which you understand the world, culture, and human purpose. Now, the biblical worldview believes that God is the sovereign creator of all things and that we know truth, that it's revealed through Scripture, and that all of human life and its purposes finds its value rooted in being made in God's image. Now, these companies and organizations that is creating AI tools for children, that's pushing AI into schools and advocating for it to be implemented and integrated into every facet of a child's life, they subscribe to the techno-optimistic worldview. And that worldview believes that technological advancements are the primary driver of human progress and will ultimately solve all, if not most, of humanity's problems. So we can immediately see that the techno-optimistic worldview is first antithetical to the biblical worldview. It sees technology as the answer or salvation, if you will, whereas Scripture, of course, teaches that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer and Jesus is our salvation. So that's a fundamental difference that we have to recognize straight out. Also, if we look back like over the past 20 years of technological progress, the introduction of iPads and smartphones and video games all targeted at kids, we can recognize that this techno-optimistic worldview, which targets children, has really led to a net harm, not a net benefit for children. And I'm not talking about like all the good things in technology and engineering advancements that saved children's lives. I'm literally talking about technology in hand, personal devices used for entertainment and learning. Since those devices have been given to children, we've seen an increase in mental health, all the depression, anxiety, we've seen a rise in ADHD and a lowering of academic scores and social anxiety, loneliness, right? We can go on. And all of those things have been strongly correlated with growing up constantly connected to a device. So while the biblical worldview and the techno-optimistic worldview aims to disciple and influence children, the biblical worldview does not have such corollary connections with net children's harm. I think also we can see that the techno-optimistic worldview requires just this constant progress, this movement forward, regardless of the cost to society. And that progress means like there's no consistency. There's no stable ground or trustworthy foundation. It just moves wherever the wind blows or where money can be made. But the biblical worldview provides us consistent, reliable understanding about what it means to be human, because we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. While the techno-optimistic worldview requires us to constantly change and adapt to these new ways of living with technology. So this framework of worldview for evaluating all emerging technologies should help us as we learn about all these new AI technologies, including chatbots. Now, you may already be thinking, oh, yeah, understanding it from a worldview, that makes so much sense. I can just stop listening. But listen. Satan is behind every single lie that this worldview feeds us. And it's packaged as convenience and peace and quiet and efficiency and learning and connection. And we can all fall for these lies. So we need to understand more than just how these worldviews differ. We need to be able to recognize their lies so that we don't fall to them. Now, before we move on, I just want to address one concern. And maybe you're thinking this in the back of your head, because lots of people give us this pushback anytime we discuss the eternal importance of parenting in the context of media and technology. People will say, all technological advancements have caused, you know, society to freak out and all this moral panic, and this is no different. See, we are fine 500 years after the printing press, and we're, you know, fine 120 years after the automobile. Well, let's just take the automobile as an example. The automobile altered humanity by not only moving people around faster, but it also redefined the pace of life and the pattern of work and rest, and people's priorities of changed and people's expectations changed. The characteristics of patience, all of this got adapted because the automobile offered efficiency and autonomy. Now, just because the new technology altered how humans live didn't mean that it needs to be rejected wholesale. Right? When the automobile was created, it didn't take long to recognize that children could not operate these machines unless they were a certain maturity or competence or even stature. However, while it was likely known that children couldn't drive the Ford Model T, it took like 30 to 50 years before any sort of public policy was actually requiring like driver's license and age restrictions and like testing requirements to actually prevent some of these harms. You know, it was in my lifetime that seatbelts were made mandatory in production and then actually enforced by law. Well, the same is true of AI. Yes, it alters the way we as humans live, whether that's through how we get our information or whether or not we have the same job. But just like the automobile, it doesn't have to be completely rejected, especially when it's used by mature adults. It can be used for good. Well, AI, like cars, they're not safe for children to drive solo, if you will. We need wise boundaries and ethical standards so it can protect children who are in their most vulnerable state of development from harm. But while that falls on the parents, just like it did for the automobile, it's going to fall on us as parents right now with AI, because it's going to take another 30 to 50 years before there's any policy in place to protect kids. And we just know this is how society works. We embrace all of the great things about technology before we consider the risks. Wait, just look at Facebook. It's been around like 20 years now, and we're just now starting to see policy changes of like trying to enforce age restrictions. We have states and even Australia trying to restrict teens from under 16 from using the platforms, but it's taken 20 years. So the argument that we are just one more organization decrying human progress and technology is really just unfounded. This technology can and is used by adults with much and great benefit. But y'all, it is so different when it comes to children, and especially within the body of Christ, because we are commanded to care for the vulnerable. So that's why it is our goal here at Brave Parenting to train you to view all the apps and websites and services to through this lens of what it means to be human and live out the purposes that God has established in advance for us to live out. Now, to do this, we have to understand that childhood is a vulnerable time, but also the most important time for learning, training, and discipline. So today, I'm going to be using Angel Q as my primary example because they directly posit themselves as the company that's using AI to make for a safer internet for children. So therefore, they kind of fall right into this techno-optimistic worldview that I talked about. Now, Nathan and I reviewed Angel Q in our last episode. So if you need to get caught up to speed on the app itself, go listen to last week's episode. Now, unlike True Play Games that we had discussed a couple weeks before that, Angel Q and its parent company make no religious affiliations. They don't claim to be Christian. Their lane is specifically kid-first technology. And again, their mission states that they want to use AI to make the internet safe for kids. While I do honestly believe that they truly care about making the internet safer, I have to hold their mission in the tension with the fact that they are an investor-funded company, which means that they have to make a return on their investment. So in this sense, the company has like a capitalistic worldview, which is common among businesses, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. They're providing a service and they want to make a profit for that service. So it's not wrong, but it does put them sort of in the same lane as every other big tech company that eventually sacrifices children on the altar of their profit. So Angel Q has, in at least some sense, this techno-optimistic worldview because, again, based on that mission, they believe that AI is the solution to the dangers of the internet, not parents, not discipleship, not the gospel. And so that worldview assumes that AI technologies can also solve the deeply moral and spiritual problem of humanity. So let's just be clear. The internet is not unsafe for children because of the way that it's made. It's unsafe for children because of the sinfulness of man that not only makes and creates that technology, but that is free reign on those platforms. So with that in mind, let's just look at the solution that Angel Q provides. They have combined together in one platform, children, personal handheld devices, entertainment streaming services, and chatbots. Okay, now the chatbot feature is what we're going to be focusing on today, but these other features pose risks as well. So that's why we cannot look at Angel Q simply from this mindset that it is safer than everything else, or, you know, that it's just not as bad as everything else. Because if we look at it just from those standpoints, then we're going to completely miss the worldview embedded in that product. And that worldview says that children must use this technology, this AI chatbot technology, because it's the way of the future. Okay, so we are going to start talking about some of the fundamentals that we see in scripture that defines for us. So what does it look like for a child to live out God's purposes as a human being made in the image of God in this time and space? Well, the number one purpose that we see in scripture is that we are made to live in relationship with others. God said in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. And Genesis 1:27, he says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. See, the animals were not enough to be companions and helpers for man. So God saw that it wasn't good that Adam didn't have a complementary partner. And so he made man and woman. And through that partnership, he instituted the family. And from the family, he instituted communities. And from communities, he eventually built his church. And we see all throughout scripture the command to one another, to love one another, to serve one another, to greet one another. That's how God tells us how we are to live in relationships, embodied, sharing physical space with one another, and living out these one another commands. Now, Let's pause and consider how Angel Q then contributes to that human purpose of relationships for children. Well, Angel Q does not offer any promise or any sense of community or relationship, which I actually think is fine because that's how social media platforms deceives everyone. What Angel Q offers is isolated screen interaction, one-on-one child personal handheld device with an artificial agent that appears, sounds, and behaves like a human, right? This is an AI conversational chatbot with a human name, and not just a human name. It's like a divine name, Angel. And this chatbot Angel refers to children by their first name, often with endearing names that sort of match their unique profile or persona. And the chatbot is kind and respectful and playful and just so knowledgeable. And it apologizes, you know, if it can't answer your question, which is a good feature. It doesn't judge no matter what question you ask. But honestly, what human can ever compare? Can any parent reply as consistently, kindly, accurately, and playfully as a chatbot? Can grandparents or teachers or their friends? Right? No. No human will ever match the perfection of a conversational AI chatbot in the eyes of a child. And considering that these chatbots are marketed to young elementary age children who are just beginning to form their independent relationships with their peers, all while still submitting to the authority of their parents, there is such a great risk for a child to misinterpret that chatbot to either be a friend or the authority. Now, another aspect that we glean from scripture is what it means for a child to live out God's purposes is that human childhood is intentionally prolonged. It is longer than any of the other creatures in God's creation. And scripture doesn't explicitly tell us why childhood lasts so many years, but it does provide us insight into its purpose. And that is that it takes time and repetition to teach a child. And God directs all of children's learning and training and formation to be done in human relationships, namely by parents. This is why Deuteronomy 6 instructs parents to teach God's commandments to their children, impress them upon the children, talk about them when you walk along the road, when you sit at home, when you lie down, and when you get up. It's an embodied, intentional, slow, day by day, every single day process. And this is exactly what Jesus modeled for us as he walked with his disciples, impressing God's teaching and commandments onto them with love and discipline. He did not outsource his teaching or training to anyone else, much less an artificial intelligent chatbot. Even when he grew weary of his apostles' lack of learning and wisdom, he just kept teaching and reteaching. We also see a similar kind of repetitive nature in the book of Proverbs. The first 7 chapters begin with a father admonishing his son to accept his wisdom and to apply his teachings to life. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you," Proverbs 2:1. "And my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight," Proverbs 3:21. Well, this biblical model requires parents to be the primary disciple makers. We also see in Proverbs 22:6 that scripture tells us to raise up, to train up a child in the way they should go. In Ephesians 6:4, exhorts parents to bring children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Well, that type of training and instruction also requires communication. Now, human communication, it's not just intellectually informative. It is morally and spiritually like formative to our child. But nonetheless, it's not just an exchange of words, right? It requires you to be physically present in order for it to be formative. So again, consider Jesus and his disciples. Jesus invited these men into his life. He in his ministry, he walked with them, talked with them, ate with them, traveled with them, served them. You know, during the day, he would teach the crowds through lectures. And then privately, he would distill his teaching to his disciples so that they could greater understand that. And sometimes, rather than teaching, he modeled by humble example instead of words, right? He washed their feet. And then he would give like a simple instruction, such as, do as I have done to you. Well, children need the same kind of visual, verbal, and embodied teaching. And that comes from parents. So we have to ask ourselves, how does angel cue then contribute to a child's need to be taught, trained, and discipled over time and in the context of embodied relationship and communication? Well, their website states that they provide a curated experience for kids. They list the benefits to children as, quote, personalized discovery and inspiration to explore and learn through their own natural curiosities. Did I mention that they also do this all through a chatbot named Angel? Okay, first, if what it means to be a human child is to learn and be taught and trained by others, then the notion of personal discovery, especially personal discovery on a personal isolated device, well, this means that the core purpose of one another type of discipleship is completely stripped away. That chatbot does not count as another that you can one another with. In the same way, what they say, exploring and learning through your own curiosities, again, on that personal device, well, that removes the life-on-life learning that God created for children to have. I mean, we know that children are going to learn outside, amongst others. They're not always going to be under the purview of their parents. But this language that they use is concerning because this all involves a conversational chatbot, which assumes the role of a parent or a teacher. And as we know, a chatbot may simulate human conversation and it can convey information to you, but it cannot train a child how to live an embodied life, the embodied life that God created them for. It may pretend it can, but it's not human. It can't fulfill that creational order that God set in place to be accomplished by humans. It can only provide knowledge, but it's knowledge divorced from the fear of the Lord, because that can only be produced by humans who have experienced God. Well, as God's word says, knowledge on its own puffs up, but knowledge that comes from reverence to God and knowledge that comes through love builds up. That comes from Proverbs 1:7 and 1 Corinthians 8:1. Children don't need knowledge just for the sake of knowledge, like we adults do. They need knowledge for the sake of learning and being trained how to live out God's purposes now when they're a child and then into adulthood. They need information that's grounded in the fear of the Lord that comes through love, not knowledge that comes through a paid subscription to a chatbot. Okay, let's move on to our third purpose. And another way we understand this through scripture, and it's about how a child is meant to live out their human purposes, and that's discomfort and suffering are a universal human experience. And therefore, children are not exempt from the feelings of sadness, difficulty, grief, pain, or boredom, right? They need to expect these type of feelings. So if we just look at boredom, considering the modern definition of boredom, it's an emotion that primarily arises from a lack of stimulation or interest or satisfaction. But boredom in adulthood is going to look very different than boredom in childhood. Because adults, we are expected to overcome our boredom with positive productivity, right? So that we don't become lazy. Children, however, grow and learn in numerous ways when they are faced with boredom, because it gives children the opportunity to be creative, devise a plan, organize their thoughts, problem solve, and really persevere, right? So a parent may give some suggestions of activities that kids can do, but ultimately it's the children who decide how they're going to spend that time. And from whatever decision they make, they learn about themselves and the world around them. Now, while the word boredom does not appear in scripture, the book of Psalms does record times of discomfort while waiting for the next thing. And the book of Ecclesiastes describes the experience of not finding satisfaction in this world, both of which fit right into our modern definition. Well, in Psalm 13, David asks, "How long, Lord? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts?" That's verses 1 and 2. And he expresses that this longing for God and discontentment and waiting, and in that, he can hardly hold the enemy off. But by the end of the lament, we see perseverance and strength and faith. He says, quote, "But I trust in your unfailing love. I will sing the Lord's praise because he has been good to me." That's verses 5 and 6. So difficulty and discomfort when you're alone, wrestling with your own thoughts and fighting the temptation to sin, those are still common experiences today. But like the psalmist, we have the opportunity to grow through those experiences, to develop strength and character. As the author of Ecclesiastes says, "All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." So we can try and numb these feelings of boredom and discomfort, but all these things are wearisome. Just look at the day and the time and age that we're in, and we're all trying to numb all these feelings of boredom. For what? For what, right? There's so many easy digital distractions available that can satiate our desire to not be bored, to be satisfied. But like the author says, everything is meaningless in verse 1-2 of Ecclesiastes. Well, in the book of Romans, Paul admonished believers in Rome that as Christians, they were to glory in their sufferings because they know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. That is Romans 5, 3 through 4. And part of what it means to be human is to experience suffering. We have to allow our kids to suffer. That is part of the human experience of childhood. Okay, so now let's examine what angel cue contributes to this core purpose that not only are we supposed to be in relationships, we're supposed to be discipled over time in a repetitive nature, but we're also to experience some negative feelings because that is what helps us grow. So Angel Q lists as one of the benefits that they provide kids to be a boredom buster. Now, in the same breath, they also speak about giving parents peace of mind because their kid-safe curated experiences leave parents feeling great, easy, no problem. Okay, so we have to ask ourselves, how does Angel Q serve as a boredom buster? Well, one of the ways is that it offers streaming services through Netflix, Disney Plus, and YouTube Kids. You can connect your accounts and give your kids a curated experience of these streaming services. Well, yeah, we know that that is going to bust their boredom, but it's not going to just bust their boredom. It's also going to numb them. It's going to just distract them with all these new sort of lusts of the flesh and keep their eyes engaged on passive entertainment. Not only does streaming entertainment diminish the character-producing work that God wants to accomplish through the hard stuff, through the discomfort, through the boredom. Not only does it displace that work of character development, it displaces human relationships, right? Kids end up just being voyeurs into some sort of curated entertainment that's showing other people's human lives or cartoons or whatever. And that curated entertainment for children, again, it's just a numbing agent. It's not sanctifying them in any way. And in the same way, Angel Q promotes this, the use of the app to bust boredom as a good thing because it gives parents peace of mind. Well, we have to ask ourselves, why do parents need peace of mind considering their child's boredom? Because boredom is a negative emotion. And it's really hard, as we all know, for parents to allow boredom to persist long enough to actually reap those character developing benefits. We as modern parents, we don't want to see our kids suffer. No one does. And so a lot of parents just react when they see that negative emotion and immediately try and reinstate their child's happiness and their satisfaction by curing their boredom. So while busting boredom, as I like to say, through this safe and curated entertainment, it may grant peace of mind. But we have to ask, at what cost? What is lost is the powerful benefit of boredom, which is perseverance. See, the world, it's neither like an action movie where there's just something fun all of the time, but it's also not utopia, right? You're going to be bored. You're going to experience bad feelings, negative feelings. But as parents, we have to allow these in the natural flow of life so that kids can experience frustration. They can learn to overcome that frustration and their negative emotions and learn to be alone with their own thoughts. The AngelQ Super Browser, as they call it, which again is just a filtered chatbot and streaming app, it does not and cannot bring on the benefits that boredom actually gives kids, right? Because it may be safe and it may be non-addictive, but it provides solutions so that kids don't have to, right? It is creative so that kids don't have to. It gives all the answers about nature so that kids don't actually have to go outside and observe it firsthand. It plans, again, so that kids don't have to, or it gives suggestions for learning that are algorithmic discovery. It's not personal discovery as they claim that it is. But I think worst of all, it's not just that it's algorithmic, you know, delivering content to be discovered. It is the fact that it's an AI conversational chatbot simulating a human, simulating this playful, fun exploration and, you know, kind of experience for kids. And that is what's dangerous. Okay. Now, I could go on probably for another hour, but I think that that gives you a good foundation for understanding how children were created by God to live in relationship, to be discipled, and to experience some negative emotions such as boredom, and how AngelQ disrupts those God-ordained purposes. Let me just summarize my points for you. The techno-optimistic worldview sees technological progress as the solution to the human condition. The biblical worldview obviously sees Jesus as the only savior and that scripture is sufficient and authoritative for fulfilling all of our purposes and navigating life in any era, including this era. And we are created to be in relationships and for discipleship. All of us at every age are created for this. And scripture commands that the discipleship of children is to be done by parents through modeling, training, discipline, and relationship. The process of raising and discipling children, it is slow, it is repetitive, it is day in and day out, and it's often uncomfortable and boring, right? And the struggles that we experience, though, they are, when we are fulfilling God's purposes, those struggles are always used for God's divine purposes to grow us in character and perseverance. Chatbots, as we have just learned, disrupt these God-ordained purposes for children to grow and thrive in human relationships, to be trained and learn in the context of biblical discipleship. AI with its chatbots, it pacifies, it sort of squelches that desire and need for human connection and learning with this perfect yet artificial imitation. And it distorts children's ability to really learn how to build good relationships and thrive in human relationships, despite the fact that we as humans are all going to have weaknesses, we're all going to be sinful, but we do need to learn how to navigate that in a real relationship. Chatbots are not going to be the answer. Okay, so now with all the information I just provided, maybe you're wondering, what do I do with this? So my goal in providing kind of these purposes is for you to kind of view your children's life in a little bit of a different state and also view all the media and technology that your family engages with in a little bit different light as well. I want you to discern whether or not what you engage with is possibly distorting these God-ordained purposes for your children to be in human relationship, to experience biblical discipleship, And of course, to experience some boredom and some negative feelings and learn how to get over those. Now, you don't have to do this all at once. And I'm not asking you to completely give up all of your media and technology. I just want you to slowly, as you go through day by day, as you interact with this, to just discern and ask those questions. But here's what I am strongly admonishing you to do. And that is restrict and delay your child's access to a chatbot of any sort. These tech companies will deceive you in any way that they can to get you to buy in to their techno-optimistic worldview that believes that chatbots are going to solve the problem of loneliness and that they are soon going to be everyone's best friend, everyone's therapist, everyone's teacher. Because listen, they know if they hook children early, like when they're young, they're going to have customers for life. That means they're going to be making profit for a long time. Now, what I'm not saying, so I want everybody to hear me, I'm not saying that all generative AI chatbots for adults is wrong or unbiblical. I believe that they are, it's actually an excellent tool when it's used as a tool. It is never excellent when it is used in replacement of human relationships. You are not to be in a relationship with a chatbot. Ultimately, I want us as parents and disciples of Christ to recognize the importance of discipleship and how if we as parents do not end up discipling our children through the embodied life-on-life modeling, teaching, training, learning, all of that, then technology will step in and it will disciple them. Right? These platforms are more than happy to use their algorithms to draw kids in to that all day, every day type of discipleship if we allow them to. I really believe this is an insidious threat that is aimed at capturing our children. And we as a body of believers, we must be ready with a defense for the hope that we have in Christ and a readiness to reject these AI chatbots for our children. There is a time and place for them, but it's not during childhood. Okay, now, if you have enjoyed this biblical exploration and sort of apologetic of why children should not be engaging with AI chatbots, and you want more, you're like, hey, I love this. I want some more biblical apologetics. Well, you need to come to the Women in Apologetics Conference. It is in Grapevine, Texas this year, which is in the Dallas Metroplex, and it is going to be held on September 26th and 27th. All of us from Brave Parenting will be there. And listen, I've got an excellent discount code for you. You can use discount code EXC59. That's Echo X-ray Charlie 59 to get your registration for $59 while tickets last. Now, this is a great deal because the ticket price just went up to $119. And this is going to be an amazing conference. Nancy Piercy, author of Love Thy Body, she's going to be there. Our friend, theology mom, Krista Bontrager, is also going to be there as one of the keynote speakers. It's really going to be amazing. It's going to be super. Encourage you to go get your tickets. Come on over to Dallas. Meet us. We would love to meet you there. Okay, guys, that is all I have for you today. I really encourage you to share this with all the parents in your life, in your schools, your neighborhoods, and your churches. It is a really important topic. We must get on top of these chatbots before they take over our kids. All right. Until next time, y'all go and be brave.